Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Well, 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 look what the cat dragged in. Welcome back to me. Happy Monday to you, Mike Dempsey. Fat Tony here with you, Tony. I'll take about a dozen of those show openings next year, specific to a Jaguar victory.
That would be nice, wouldn't
from,
it?
From 2015. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you? How'd you enjoy the week off?
I didn't listen to any Jaguars today, I got to tell you.
That's all right.
That was soul-crushing for me between the hours of 10 and noon Eastern time. I was out of town for a little of it, visiting the in-laws up in the lovely burg of Pinehurst, North Carolina, where they're known to throw a golf course every 50 feet or so.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony,
they can fit them in.
It's fantastic. I mean, you don't have to turn your head. If you just want to look at all the ones on the right side of the road, you can do that. You can turn over, look at the ones on the left side of the road. There are dozens of them, bajillions. I don't
Bedozens.
Know. But dozens. They're everywhere, Tony. I loved it. I played three rounds of golf, played a couple of them up in Pinehurst, had a good time with it. Spent all of, 7 minutes maybe filling out my NCAA tournament bracket, and that includes the time it took me to register at 1010XL.com to sign in. My father-in-law, I was up there with him in North Carolina. He's a big Duke fan. He's watched every single Duke snap, every second of Duke basketball. They don't snap the ball. You get the
dribble.
You know what I'm saying? Dribble. That's the word they use in basketball. Right. Watch every single second of Duke basketball this year, and he's asking me, when the paper comes out tomorrow, this is Sunday, they're setting the field. He goes, I'm going to really want to pick your brain. I'm like, Pops.
Wrong brain.
Wrong brain to pick. All right. Ain't much left up in there, but there's certainly not much knowledge when it comes to the NCAA tournament, Tony. I guarantee you I probably watched 8 to 10 times as much basketball over the last 4 days than I did all year combined. Watched UNF's conference championship victory in full. I watched Duke get routed by Notre Dame in the ACC tournament, and those are probably the only games I watched in full all year long. So are these upsets? I couldn't tell you. What's an upset? What's not? I'm so out of touch with what's going on.
I was kind of in the same position. I thought about it going into filling out my bracket and everything that was going on with UNF for the conference championship game and all this. I was like, I think if you combine all the basketball I've watched this year heading into that time of year, that it may have added up to about a game and a half.
Right.
That's how much college basketball. I've just been doing other things instead of watching college hoops this year, and Vanderbilt was terrible, so there was no reason to watch them, and despite the fact that they're doing pretty well in the NIT.
Part of it is doing this show, though, right? We focus just on the NFL and the Jaguars on this show. That's for work purposes. We used to at least have to give a thought to some of this other stuff going on, and now we don't. And I've found, Tony, as I've gotten older and certainly not any wiser, that unless I have some rooting interest, whether it's my team that I've rooted for a long time or I'm playing fantasy something, golf, NASCAR, all that included, because I watched the hell out of some golf and NASCAR yesterday.
I watched a lot of NASCAR.
Had something
yesterday.
Going. Even though I've got a bracket filled out in the 1010XL bracket challenge, I don't feel invested in it. I don't have any money on the line on it this year. I'm not in anybody's $10 office pool this year. I just don't care that much anymore, unless it has to do with the National Football League and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I guess from that standpoint, from my point of view, I'm in the right job. Probably if we did our poll question today, are you happy Mike's back? Yeah, you might get a mixed result on that on Twitter.
It is after the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and I watched a lot of basketball this week. Like I said, Thursday and Friday are two of the best days of the sports calendar year.
They're the best 2 days.
As far as a viewing experience, but I found myself, even on Thursday, I found myself flipping over to watch a Braves spring training game. From time to time, I was like, let's see what the Braves are doing, because I hadn't watched any of them all year. I can tell you that I'm still excited about baseball season getting here, but there is so much focus on what's going on with the NFL, and it's become such a 365 product. It's every day.
I love that about it.
Yeah,
I do, because I love the product.
They completely dominate the calendar year, the NFL does, with the way that they've spread everything out. I mean, now we get done. Free agency is kind of winding down.
Let's create some new stories at the owners' meetings.
A couple names out there. We got the owners' meetings coming up. We're only 5.5 weeks away now from the NFL draft happening, and then you get in the OTAs, and you're getting to meet all these guys, and all that stuff is coming together. So there's no off season at all when it comes to covering the National Football League, which makes it fun to do a show like this. We didn't know how it was going to work out in February and March.
We've already done the hard part. The hard part is not February, March. The hard part's like late June, right?
Yeah.
To mid-July. There is about a four-week down period, and that's fine. And, boy, what a rough life we had, Tony. We're going to have to figure out how to do our two-hour radio show during the 1 month when the NFL is not spoon-feeding us content every single second of the day. But owners' meeting's going on this week. We'll check in over the course of the next few days with Johnny O, John Osier out there, who was in with you last week, Ryan O'Halloran as well. I know you had fun with Donovan Darius.
Yeah.
I did run into David Garrard on Friday night at the Coughlin Wine Tasting Gala. I definitely made sure to make it back in town for that.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of quick observations. One, the beard is still impressive from Dave.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite I just asked him because, like I said, I didn't get the opportunity, let's put it this way, to tune into Jaguars Today or any of the other fine 1010XL programming during my downtime. And so I asked him if he had come in with you on Friday, and he said no. And I couldn't quite, once he said no, I'm like, I don't know, there's some East Carolina connection, something was going on.
Yeah, he said he was getting back late Thursday night. I was like,
something
all right,
happened.
Whatever, Dave, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, it's all good.
You know,
it's all good. 1010XL had a good turnout at the J-Fun Wine Tasting Gala. I saw Joe C. over there. I saw Brent Martin over there. Chris Wayne, of course, our former program director, works with the J-Fund. The Coughlins, Tom, Kelly Coughlin, do a tremendous job with that. Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell and their brides on hand among the luminaries, at least making an appearance on Friday night. Didn't really, you know, it's funny because the football people, they're all just like talking to each other. It's like, hey, talk to other people. You know, you're here amongst, I see Gus and Dave every day. They don't want to talk to me. I talk to them every day. I don't want to see them. They don't want to see me on a Friday night and have me ask the same kind of things. But because I was out, I did have to ask Gus what his thoughts were on Bernard Pierce, and he didn't have much to say because he had just met him himself on Friday after they claimed him off of waivers on Friday or on Thursday. That dovetails with our question of the day to kick off this week here. Happy spring to all of you out there, by the way.
Oh, is it spring?
It's spring. I don't know. I guess you can get rain in the spring, but it's a gloomy start to the week.
Yeah, it's kind of a crummy Monday.
I'm trying not to have that reflect on me because I'm back, and there goes the good weather out the door with me. But Bernard Pierce gets a DUI from the Baltimore Ravens, tells the police officer, according to the stories that came out, basically, you know I'm getting cut tomorrow, right? And that's exactly what happened. Now, the Ravens are in a bit of a different circumstance right now. They went through a PR year of hell with the Ray Rice saga last year. So they're at the point, Tony, where they're saying, look, you get in any kind of off-the-field trouble, particularly if we feel you're expendable, and I think that's a key, right? I don't think if Joe Flacco got a DUI, the Jags would have had the opportunity to claim that contract on waivers.
No, Bernard Pierce is a guy, and we talked to Luke Jones up in Baltimore on Friday here on the show, who, look, he's a guy that was going to be on the roster bubble anyway. When everything was said and done, he was losing carries when they lost Forsett at the end of the year in Talaferro. When those guys, even when they were hurt, it wasn't Forsett that was going into those football games to pick up those carries.
Yeah, I'm not, I say jokingly, I don't know if I'm as offended by the DUI as I am about the lack of production from Bernard Pierce that they picked him up. You know what I mean? Look, the question of the day is, do you have an issue with the Jags picking up players with issues, off-the-field issues? In this case, obviously, Baltimore said, hey, you know what, DUI, wrong time, wrong city to be getting in off-the-field trouble, wrong franchise, out the door. Okay, see you later. Talent level. And again, I don't think for a second, if that were a key component of that football team that they looked at as a key cog to helping them win in 2015, that guy would be out the door. Just wouldn't be the case. So you can all pound your fist on the table and talk tough and do all these things, but we all know that special talent gets special consideration in life, in every walk of life.
In most circumstances.
In almost every circumstance. Yeah. And you could probably come up with
still an odd
an
thing
example
that
the other way.
Greg Hardy is not playing for the Carolina Panthers.
True. But that was
an extreme kind of area.
It was.
Still, he's a really talented guy.
Right. And keep in mind, had he been just arrested and been able to play last year and played very well, maybe that would have changed. But I think they felt like he stole money from them because they ended up having to stash him and pay him. He was on the commissioner's exempt list. He didn't count, but he did get paid for all that time last year. So he goes to the Dallas Cowboys. Jags pick up Bernard Pierce. Look, the Jags are trying to, at least they're hoping, they're not planning, but they're hoping that their own guy, Justin Blackmon, comes back. He's had his own DUI issues, certainly. So, you know, Dave Caldwell has said we're not looking for a team of 53 choir boys. I get that. I don't know if Bernard Pierce is a guy that's even going to make this football team, regardless of issues off the field. It's sure. More as on the field issues at this point in time. But give us your thoughts on that, and we'll talk about that a little bit as it goes along today. And I do think there's a sliding scale out there. I think there's a lot of folks out there, and not everybody, because certainly some are saying, I don't want Greg Hardy on this team if half of what he was alleged to have done could be true. I don't want him on this football team. So I'm not trying to cast everybody in the same light here, but there are plenty of people that said, hell, Greg Hardy is a difference maker. I will not necessarily look the other way, but I'll give him a chance to not screw up again, to bring him in here. And I think there's more leeway shown to those great talents. You saw what happened in Dallas. Greg Hardy goes there. The mayor is weighing in. You know, some of the local sports media are really blasting that franchise for putting on the field.
And you knew that was going to come. And if you're the Cowboys, you have to know that when you sign.
Well, and if you're the mayor of Dallas and you've run partially on a platform of being sensitive to these issues of domestic violence, this is a pretty big spotlight to be put on your city, your franchise there in Big D. So we'll touch on that a little bit today. I'll get the latest from the owners' meetings. Johnny O is going to check in with us. Ryan O'Halloran probably checking in live from the owners' meetings tomorrow. Mark Lamping, I know you discussed this last week, got a new 5-year contract as president of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll touch on that as well. Some rule changes that could be coming out of the owners' meetings and a whole lot more. If you want to get caught up with Jaguars today, 641-1010 is the phone number. Thanks to all of you who have welcomed me back via social media. I will choose to ignore the ones who wish I had stayed away. And that's okay, because God bless America. That's your prerogative. Again, Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. The Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. How do you feel about the Jags bringing in players from other teams that have had off-the-field issues? And yes, off-the-field issues can be a vague, generalized category, but in this case, the most recent example, and really the only example I can think of off the top of my head in the Dave Caldwell era, is Bernard Pierce coming in fresh off a DUI that got him kicked off the Baltimore Ravens roster. 641-1010, the phone number, my Twitter, @MD_1010XL, Tony @1010XL, Fat Tony, of course, @1010XL, Tyler for Tyler Devitt, our producer here on Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Happy Monday. Wild West Guns and Gold brings it to you live from Everbank Field, Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Tony, I'm on the tweeters, while I'm away. Marginally. Wasn't doing much tweeting, but every once in a while I'd look in, see what's happening. And so I told you there's a big 1010XL presence, friends and extended family of 1010XL. Jackson DeVille, Pete Prisco were at the Coughlin wine tasting event on Friday night. I made my typical inebriated donation to charity in the silent auction. Got some nice golf out at San Jose Country Club. How's your shoulder doing, by the way?
It's no better.
Bro, I want to give you an invite.
I know. I can't even get in to see a doctor for another 2 weeks. This is ridiculous.
Maybe I'll have a Jaguars Today midweek golf outing on me at San Jose Country Club. How about that? Not this week necessarily, but maybe I'll do that.
That'd be fun.
I'd like to play with you. I'd like to have you and I could invite a couple of Jaguars Today listeners to go play, and it would be gratis because I've already paid for it in an inebriated state, and I'm not taking it back. I'm not challenging the charge. I'm just lucky, Tony, honestly.
If we're doing it with a bunch of listeners, whether I'm playing or not, I'll come hang out.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, a bunch is how many is a bunch? I mean, I got to force them.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I can't play but we get three listeners out there, I'll come.
You'll hang?
Ride along or whatever, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't. I'm not playing.
You'll see me hit my new arrow burner. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I'm not sure I want to play with you anymore anyway.
Bro, it's not that I'm any better at golf. Okay, I hit just as many horrible shots. It's just that the good ones I hit now go a lot further. That's all it is.
I got you.
So, I mean, I hit them just as far in the woods as I used to. Actually, further into the woods than I used to. I'm watching this whole arrow burner, all these arrow burner spots on the golf coverage this weekend. I didn't know this was part of it. I went to Golf Tech. They did a great job, by the way. Seriously, I got fitted. You know, I feel like these clubs were made for me because they were. You know, I got the latest technology, and so it'll help me be as good a bad golfer as I could possibly be, right? And I'm watching all these commercials this weekend. It's all about, oh, we built this club so you can swing as hard as possible, as hard as humanly possible. And I'm thinking, is that really the thing right. I need? I don't know if that
That's
was my
issue.
That's the
exact opposite of what I've always been told. Like, the way I was taught to play the game, just swing smooth. Things
swing
will go
smooth,
right
for
you. And now they're going to hand me a club that says swing like a caveman.
Swing like a nut job. I have been told, though, and this does make sense, that when you have kids and you get them into golf, you just rip it. Swing as hard as you can because you can always bring it back.
Sure.
You can always try to rein it in a little bit. But once you get that cautiousness into your swing, it's hard to just let it go. So, you know, be a crazy loon when you're young, I guess, is the that's life. But so I'm on the Twitter, and Chris Wayne, former program director, now works with the J Fund, does a fine job with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tweets out, good to see all the, you know, so-and-sos, includes all our Twitter handles
you
in there.
You bunch of so-and-sos.
Bunch of so-and-sos is what we are. So it randomly, his tweet gets randomly favorited by one of these Twitter bots that want you to buy Twitter followers from them.
Oh, right? Nice.
They claim they can provide you with 1,000 Twitter followers for $12, okay? Or if you want 10,000, I can say $120, and we'll give you 10,000 new Twitter followers.
All right.
All right? Trust me. Whatever ones I have, they trickle in dribs and drabs. They may be half of them may be spam bots like everybody else, but they're my spam bots, all
right?
They're my legitimate spam bots. So I'm not buying any Twitter followers, but I click on this because I'm curious to see what kind of outfit this is. And their little tagline on their Twitter page says, "The reality is people usually pay more attention to you when you have more followers. Buy 1,000 followers for $12. This buy followers Twitter account has 79 followers. Okay? Practice what you preach here.
Oh,
all right?
My goodness.
Maybe invest in getting your own 10,000 up there, and then I will listen to you, but I'm not going to try to buy followers from a spam bot that has less than 80 people currently following
it. That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's a lot ridiculous, actually. So this is what I was dealing with on my vacation, Tony. This is why I needed a week off. It's very mentally stressful at times. Memphis Mack, by the way, called in and told Tyler to pass along to you that he's very proud that his niece got a full scholarship in bowling to Vanderbilt.
Oh, congratulations.
Ladies, the national championship ladies.
Yeah, they just won the conference championship over the weekend, by the way, the ladies there at Vanderbilt again.
Congrats to Memphis Mack's niece. She must be phenomenal.
She must be. The Nationals coming up again next month, so congratulations to her, Memphis Mack, and everybody.
That's awesome.
That's
hey,
awesome.
Look, get a free ride in anything. You've done a service to yourself and to your parents.
No doubt.
You know,
especially at a place like Vandy.
But if you can go anywhere and get a full ride in sports, I don't care what the sport is, more power to you. And if you can go to, in your particular sport, to the team that was the best in the country, that's phenomenal. So good for Memphis Mack's niece.
Congrats. Welcome to the family,
absolutely.
Memphis Mack.
Absolutely. 6-4-1-10th, and not my family, Tony's extended Vandy family over there. All right, let's go to the lines today. Today we're talking, among other things, about your thoughts on the Jags bringing in guys who've had issues off the field with other teams. And obviously, every issue is not the same. Take them on a case-by-case basis. But as a general rule of thumb, that's what we're dealing with on social media today anyway, your responses to that. So, you know, boil it down to your 140 characters or so. Or if you want to call in, you can do just what Wes did. And let's go to the lines and welcome him in to start the show off. Hi, Wes. How are you this morning?
Wes, I'm real. I'm gonna take that. See, I'm gonna be one of your Twitter followers.
Well, Will, let me tell you, Will. All I can go by is what my producer types up on the screen in front of me.
And
I'll call you W.
I'll blame the phones.
All right, Will, what's going on?
I have no problem with us signing. We don't really, you know, we're really a good team anyways. I don't have a problem with us signing a couple of roughnecks. My thing with the signing is, I'm going to say this quick so you can hear it off air. We just got rid of Parsett, correct? He started over Pierce, correct? So he can't be better than Parsett, who we just got rid of. I'm just throwing that out there. And no one's talking about the moves that we haven't made. We always talking about it's hard to get people to come to Jacksonville because of, you know, we're not winning and you have to throw a lot of money. So in that case, you have to go and get trades where they have no option. and I just take this off the air, but I feel like we should have got involved in the Shady McCoy trade. We should have got involved in the Graham trade. Hey, we could have got Graham. Trust me, I like who we just got. I like Thomas, but we could have got Graham for a little nothing. We could have got Stills, the slot wide receiver from New Orleans, for a little nothing. We could have went at Greg Hardy and gave him a hunk of money because we need a pass rusher. I know you asked about the attitudes and the off the field manners, but no one is talking about the missed moves that we're not making. I mean, our free agency was pretty much a draft pick, a draft for us. We pretty much got potential players that have the potential, like you do, draft picks, and then we signed one good tight end. So I just wanted to kind of clear that out, and maybe you guys can kind of direct me and what if I'm wrong or I'm thinking, you know, out of turn here. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, first of all, you have to be given the opportunity necessarily. I mean, yes, if there are moves to be made, sometimes you say, wow, why weren't we in on that? Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes those things happen quickly. But my guess is, Tony, sure, presented with who's the equivalent guy on this roster to Kiko Alonso, if there is one? Is an easy answer. Got drafted last year. It's got to be Telvin Smith.
If anybody,
right?
Yeah.
If anybody, right? I mean, a young, active, potential star line. But a lot of, you know, there's a lot of hope for Telvin Smith. Kiko Alonso was one of the leading tacklers in the National Football League as a rookie. So when I say potential star, I don't think I'm going too far.
Nope.
I mean, he had a tremendous rookie season. By some services, he was Rookie of the Year or runner-up to Sheldon Richardson. I mean, he was a very good player, dynamic player, excellent player for them. If the Jags are only willing to spend X amount of money on DeMarco Murray, okay, and I think that money was well south of what LeSean McCoy got. Keep in mind, to make, quote, him happy,
right,
Buffalo ripped up the $12 million money he was going to get this year and gave him $16 million, bidding against only themselves. They already had him under contract. If the Jags were only maybe, let's say, in the $8 million range and probably lower than that on DeMarco Murray in terms of guaranteed money, maybe mm-hmm. incentives would have taken that up, they're not going to pay twice as much for LeSean McCoy and give up Telvin Smith in the process.
No.
Not going to happen.
No.
So you can say they missed. They're going to say, no, thank you. We didn't. Now, I look at a guy like Kenny Stills. I don't know. You know, I heard after the trade, maybe didn't get along with some of those guys in the locker room. I don't know if that's the case or not. It was a very curious move to me that New Orleans dumped him for as little as they dumped him for.
Oh, yeah.
To a guy that seems like he's coming on and a legit field-stretching wide receiver. That one is one I would have had a lot more interest in than the LeSean McCoy deal.
Sure. And Jimmy Graham, they had already they were targeting Julius Thomas in free agency, so maybe they wouldn't have even considered that. But, look, if you're going to give up that high second-round pick, and if they're looking for an offensive lineman in return, I mean, what lineman are they willing to take if you're New Orleans?
You're much better. To me, you're much better off signing Julius Thomas
right.
and pay the money. That
Jimmy Graham's
going to get that money.
Right.
A second-round pick you're going to have to give up and what?
Linder? Right.
Come on.
I mean, you're not going to give up that kind of thing if you feel like you can go sign Julius Thomas anyway. I think that if you want to get frustrated that maybe they weren't more in on Ndamukong Suh because they had the opportunity to be, I can understand that kind of thing from the fans, but I think the team's stance on that has been pretty clear. They had some kind of number that they weren't willing to go north of, and they felt like Ndamukong Suh was going to go well north of that. And he did. He did go well north of what the Jaguars were going to be willing to offer a guy like Ndamukong Suh. So they had another plan in free agency. Again, we'll see if it works out. I don't feel like they're missing out on the opportunity to get in on LeSean McCoy and Jimmy Graham. Greg Hardy is a different discussion because that guy is a really young, talented playmaker in this league who has a lot of baggage, and he kind of fits more into the discussion we're having today. As a fan, what are you willing to put up with away from the field to get production on the field? And I think Greg Hardy is an even better example of that than Bernard Pierce would be.
Yeah, and that he's the really almost the perfect guy for that. But I use Bernard Pierce as the example because that's
here.
The guy they picked up. You
he's
know,
here. Yeah.
But and look, you can debate this Greg Hardy thing, and I'm still torn on Greg Hardy, and I know he's not coming here. Yeah, I'm still torn.
Sure,
I look at it like, wow, Dallas may be getting a steal, but I also look like, are they somewhat selling their soul as a franchise for this guy who clearly to me, I mean, look, DUI is bad because DUI can kill me, can kill you, can kill my son, can kill 100 people. You don't know what kind of accident you can cause. So it's bad, but I don't think most people choose to say, I'm going to do a stupid thing, I'm going to get behind the wheel and risk everyone's life. I don't think that's the thought process. It's a dumb process. I'm not absolving anyone
right.
who gets behind the wheel. But when you...
Especially with the money these guys make.
Even though Greg Hardy didn't jeopardize my loved ones, he, according to the evidence presented in court and accepted as evidence in court until he seemingly paid this woman off to go away, that he targeted her with physical abuse, and there, while it's not as widespread, it doesn't affect as many people. Which is worse? You can make an argument that either side is worse, I think, in that regard. And
yeah,
I think
you can.
Greg Hardy's thing, you're right, is a different story because he is still a dynamic player at a young age, at a position of need. It's always going to be a position of need on every team around the league because you can never have enough of it.
I think if the Jags had been in on Greg Hardy, if he had wound up signing here, my feelings on it would have been he better be really damn good. I mean, that would have been the first. He better be really good on the field for this team going forward. And part of me would have always been upset that Greg Hardy was here, that they would bring in a guy who was willing to do what he was accused of doing and found guilty of at one point. And like you said, the girl wasn't willing to testify the second time like she was the first. Whatever happened in that in between those two parties, who knows? We can all guess all we want. But he was found guilty of it at one point, and then it was dropped because the woman that he allegedly did this to wouldn't testify, didn't show up to testify the second time. Part of me would have always been upset that the Jaguars were willing to bring in a guy that was willing to do that to a woman.
And keep in mind the kind of contract he signed. Could it turn out to be a very Greg Hardy-centric contract? He got the concession in the deal, or his representatives did from the Cowboys, that they can't franchise tag him. So they have no control on keeping him. He is a one-year rental. I certainly don't see the Jags bringing in a guy in that circumstance, a one-year rental, that kind of money, when they can't control where he goes beyond this year. That doesn't, you know, that doesn't jibe with the team-building philosophy that I see. That's my guess, because I don't think they feel like they're that one. If you're the Cowboys, you think you might be a piece or two away. That's the kind of move you make and say, some of the politics of this be damned, we're that close to winning it all.
And by the way, the Jaguars are in a position at number three to potentially go draft a guy that they feel like can play the role of Greg Hardy, Dallas Hinton.
And lock him up at a much more friendly rate
right.
for the
without
next four
all
to
the
five
off-field
years.
Crap.
Right. Let's go. Thank you for the call, Will. Let's go to Jason next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks.
Sorry that I got to get out of my car and go into work. I'd like to hear this discussion throughout your show, but here's my thoughts on it. I think we should take into account off-field issues because I don't want a bunch of turds playing on the Jaguars. That being said, the reason why I'm disappointed I got to go into work, it'd be interesting to hear how many people that were screaming 3 or 4 years ago that Gene Smith only drafts good guys and he doesn't bring anybody with talent with problems here, how many of those people will now come back and say, yeah, now we need to take into account off-the-field issues, because you can't have it both ways. I've always been of the ilk that I like good guys here, and I like the fact that Gene Smith took that into account. He had his other issues, but so it'd just be interesting to see how the conversation plays out throughout the day. That's my thoughts on the matter.
All right, thanks, man. Hey, look, I think this is something that we all are a little morally relativistic, you know, it's great. We want to win with good players, but we're not winning, so we're willing to take a few more risks. We hear that.
Well, I think there's a difference, too. Look, Ndamukong Suh, he's a jerk on the field. It's all attitude on the field. And I think as a fan of the game, you can handle that kind of thing. The issues for me are all the off the field, away from the game stuff. Like T.O., he was a jerk on the field. A complete jerk on the field, but he was a really good player, and you don't have problems with that guy away from it.
He wasn't getting arrested.
Right. None of those problems away from it. I think when you separate the two, and it's these guys that, look, Greg Hardy, from everything that I've seen and watched, no problem with him on the field. None. None. He's not even an animal the way that Ndamukong Suh and some of these other guys have been. It's the stuff away from the field. And Bernard Pierce, it's the same thing. There's nothing on the field that makes you feel that way about this guy, that he plays the game with a chip on his shoulder or anything like that. It's all away from the field. Are you willing to deal with the baggage that a guy like that brings into your locker room?
You know, and along with what you're saying with that T.O., to me, you had to have a strong enough quarterback that could deal with what was going to come, because it was a different kind of baggage with T.O. He could be disruptive, but you would overlook that he got chance after chance because of what he produced, but he always wore out those opportunities, didn't he? I mean, so there's a balancing act. You try him out, you try somebody else's issue for a little while, and you get by as long as you possibly can until it starts to really disrupt things. And that was kind of the course of T.O.'s career, particularly in the latter years there. Let's get B-more next up on the line. Good morning, B-more. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, guys? Hey, you guys do a great
good,
show.
I
just
want
to give props. Hey, just right quick, I got three things that I think Jacksonville real good need to do, and I've commented on this in the past. First of all, Gus Bradley needed, you know, stop that smiley guys for, and get serious with these guys and, you know, be hard-nosed and just like Coughlin. Because, I mean, discipline on the team shows respect. Like John Harbaugh, you know, he requires discipline, you know, and he's firm, but he's the player's coach. And second,
Let me interrupt you. Just give me an example of the lack of discipline that has resulted from Gus Bradley's friendly demeanor.
The lack of discipline.
Yeah, you're saying that he needs to instill discipline in the team. Give me an example of the lack of discipline that Gus Bradley's personality is causing on this team.
Well, I think that because he's a defensive coach, okay, and I'm thinking, like I say, he's good, but it's just sometimes last year I saw that some of the issues he should have addressed, and like I said, some of the players
What? What issues is he not addressing? I'm legitimately asking you.
So, I'm just doing my comment. Like I said, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know.
I know, but I mean, I'm responding to your comments because you're making statements, and I'm just asking you to back them up with something. I mean, do you have any examples of the conduct or behavior that's being is a reflection of Gus Bradley not having enough discipline with his team?
Gus Bradley needs to be just a little more firmer.
But I'm asking you why. I'm asking you why, because I'm asking you to back up the claim you're making. So you're making that claim. I got it. But we're not making that claim in a vacuum. So tell me why he needs to back. I mean, what's the end result that he's not getting? What are the negatives that his personality is producing on his team?
I'm not ran at his personality. I'm just saying he just needs to be a little firmer. I saw in some of the press conferences and some letters from the players. Like I said, you guys got a lot of good players, but the thing about it is, you guys don't have a lot of veterans that come in there and, like I said, to come in there like Fred Taylor. Once Fred Taylor left, Jaguars went. We thought Jones-Drew was going to do it, but Jones-Drew didn't take up the leadership. That's the only thing I'm saying right there. Okay, I'm not in a debate. I'm just saying, you know, I have nothing against Gus Bradley. Not against. But I just think it's
all right. I guess I just don't understand the point you're making, because I don't see the. You know, what his lack of firmness, in your opinion, is leading to? What's the negative consequence of his, that he needs to change his style? I just don't see the consequence. So you haven't, you know, given us an example of that.
Last year, I thought it was crazy.
Thank you.
That's addressing the defense.
All right, B-more, we got to run. We spent way too much time on that. I'm sorry. We're up against the break here. 641-1010. Is it me? It just seemed to go over my head. I don't know. I mean, trust me, Gus Bradley, Tony, we can say it. People think we're puppets for the organization because we're in the building. We don't work for the Jags, okay? I don't know a single guy on this team that doesn't have 100% respect for Gus Bradley. 100% respect. None of this guy's Stu Salt. Now, not a hint of that. Now, maybe they'd hide it. It would be smart enough to hide some of the, I'm sure there's not a, you know, there's always some kind of whatever.
Well, they've won seven games, so there's certainly the possibility of some conflict in that locker room, but it hadn't come out yet. I think, look, if you want to go back to some of the attitude of Gus Bradley towards some of the things that have happened since he got here, I keep going back to the Andre Branch thing where he made a really stupid play, cost the Jaguars the first down, and he comes over to the sideline, and the fans, because of their frustration with that player specifically in that moment, want their coach to rip into that guy. And I think Gus has a sense of who the different guys on his team are. Like, I've seen him rip into guys before. I think he knows what guys need to get ripped, and I think he knows what guys need to be taken aside and talked to the right way so that they can come back in that kind of game and in that kind of moment. And if you're a fan of a team and you say, look, if Andre Branch can't handle it, if his coach rips him apart after a play like that, then he doesn't need to be in the NFL, you're perfect. You can have that opinion on it. But Gus Bradley got out of Andre Branch what he got out of Andre Branch because he was willing to take him aside and handle things that way. It's not always the right way to do things, and I think fans get frustrated watching a coach that doesn't always rip into a player when they would, or they did get ripped into when they were playing high school football, but that's not the way Gus does things.
We got a break, but Tom Coughlin started winning Super Bowls when he actually lightened up a little bit on the discipline. And Pete Carroll, I'm not saying all these, you can have discipline and be easygoing. Pete Carroll's as genial and easygoing a coach as you'll find in the National Football League.
Yeah.
And I'd argue that he's been pretty damn successful, particularly over the last couple of years. He was a play away from winning consecutive Super Bowls.
Yep.
That's pretty good. So, hey, look, you know, to each your own. 6-4-1.
And his players lost their mind. I mean, there is that. After that play, they lost their mind on defense.
That, well, maybe they weren't disciplined.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that was the issue. All right, we got a break. 641-1010 if you want to get in. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here, Jaguars today. Back in the saddle, Mike Dempsey with Fat Tony here, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. I guess you should text Osier and see if he's available in like 30 minutes. Get on that, Tyler. If you would, because right now we're going to talk with the longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mr. Brian Sexton, now doing a multimedia bevy of duties.
Extravaganza.
Extravaganza. Sure. Cornucopia.
Absolutely.
At Jaguars.com. What's up, brother? How are you?
Boy, it was quiet around here last week without you.
I'm so damn loud.
Every
my
once
nature,
in a while,
man.
I think about coming and closing the door. I think that'd be rude, Brian.
No, you can do it. Trust me.
No,
you should do it. It's been done to me, and I'm surprised it's not done more often.
Well, with a window in here now, you probably don't get that claustrophobic. But for all the years that I worked out of this room, I couldn't stand the door being closed.
No, and that's what I was told, too. Fortunato said when we first started, what do you say, Tony? It gets too hot in here? Was that what it was?
Yeah, the AC flow through here
he's
well.
Wrong. That
so.
Was just, yeah, that was just him. Being
Joe just likes listening to the show right across the hall. That
it's
must
right.
be it. So we've just taken the leaving the door open.
The office is, you're right next door, Brian, but down the hall with everyone who's trying to get real work done while we're in here yelling for 2 hours.
I think that was a shot, but it was well placed.
It was a gentle shot in your direction.
Right. There's nothing important I'm trying to work on.
You were at the Southern Cal Pro Day, and we brought you in to get your impressions of Leonard Williams. But before we do that, just give us your impressions overall on the plan, the execution of that plan, what the Jags have done so far in free agency.
Well, the minute that they signed an offensive and a defensive lineman, I was happy. You know, if you're going to spend big dollars in free agency, you have to shore up your lines. And, you know, getting a big guy like Jeremy Parnell, I watched a little bit of tape on him. I'm not going to pretend I'm Bocelli, but you're talking about a big athletic guy who they believe has upside. And then on the defensive side, to go and get a Jared Odrick, who can play multiple positions for you because, you know, Roy, you expect to be ready to go on opening day. Sendarek, you don't know. You know, and you don't know how long it takes him to get to a point where he can give you the 25 to 30 snaps, you know, that he did effectively last year. So Odrick makes sense. And I like both of those moves. Julius Thomas, I mean, my mom could say that's a great move.
Sure.
Right? And when you pay $9.2 million, you know, you expect people to say that. So that's an exciting move. They shored up the secondary a little bit, as everyone knows. But the offensive and defensive lines still need work, obviously, on both sides of the ball. And to get a big guy with long-term upside, right, is always, always, always an A-plus in my book.
How much more work can be done, though, on the offensive line if you're
–
what do you look at?
In the draft.
Well, just in general, where are you – obviously, Linder played great last year by
Absolutely.
All accounts. So he's locked in. You just signed Parnell. He's locked in. The organization believes that Jokel will turn into the player they expect
him
to be.
Well, you're not going to do anything over there anyway.
Correct. So he's locked in. Now, Beadle's contract indicates that he walks in as a starter. I'm not saying you can't create competition. Is Belanco the most likely guy simply because maybe they were surprised by what they got in the sixth round out of him last year?
I'll just go from my conversations with Jeff and Tony last year, and that's a guy who impressed them. Not just with his intellect, because he's a very smart guy. He understands. He picked up the offense by the time we got to October. But his use of angles and his use of, he's not the biggest guy, but he found ways to get in guys' way. And he's a terrific athlete. You know, I don't know whether he's a long-term solution at center. I'd be looking for a guy to push him. I'd be looking for a guy who could play guard or center. Because you remember Linder, at one point, was a center at Miami, and they talked about him playing center out here last summer. So I would go find a couple of big guards. And, you know, they gave Beatles a lot of money, and I like Zane, and I think he brings a lot to the table. But he didn't dazzle me last year. I don't think
he dazzled anybody, although... Again, I'm not Pacelian Wagman when it comes to watching the film either, but
he got better.
That's what they say down the stretch last six games or so.
He also got older, and he's more expensive, and this is not a game. Hey,
man, retirement comes quick in the NFL, Tony. This guy, he's old.
If Vic Ketchman left one thing on me from all of his years here, it is that this is a game of replacement, not repair. You are always being replaced, or you are looking for that replacement. Who is next? Maybe you don't with Peyton Manning, a quarterback. I get it.
No, I understand the point.
Every other spot, you're looking for that guy. And so I would be looking for who is next. And you can't have enough big guys. You just can't.
With that, defensive line, Leonard Williams. As it stands right now, the Jags pretty strong in the defensive line. Tyson Alawalo, another guy that I thought was a key re-signing for them with his versatility, much like Odrick. You could look at, if Sendarek's not ready, having Tyson, Odrick right there. Next to Miller, and then Clemens.
Alualu came in as a three technique.
Correct.
He came in at that position that Sendarek plays. Now, in the scheme they play right now, that isn't his greatest strength, but you could put him over there.
Yeah, I think those guys are almost interchangeable in their ability, maybe not to the same level. You expect Odrick should play at a higher level. That's what the contract would dictate.
It should.
But Leonard Williams. Okay, Leonard Williams. People talk about it. It's now become a position almost in the draft community. Edge. It's now a position. It's no longer defensive end or outside linebacking, pass rushing outside linebacker. You're an edge is what the draft community wants us to buy into now.
Because everyone plays such a different scheme. You just have a bunch of guys playing the edge.
And now Leonard Williams plays on an edge, but he's not in this category. He's not that bend the edge pass rusher. Leonard Williams, from what I understand of him, Brian, just based on the scouting reports, I didn't watch a bunch of USC football. Again, versatility, great strength, can penetrate from the inside. Not necessarily the quickest of quick twitch athletes, but incredible playing ability, incredible hustle, great functional strength, all that. What did you see from him? What's your opinion of him as a player?
You don't watch a lot of USC football in the Southeast, but you understand that USC football is loaded with great athletes.
Sure.
Loaded with guys who just look the part. And over their history, they have put a disproportionate amount of guys who have played a long time in the NFL compared to a lot of other schools. When he walked out onto the field, it was like a shining light, like, holy cow, look at this guy. He is huge. Broad shoulders, long arms, and built. Now, you get guys who are big up top, and they're not as heavy in the bottom quarters that they need to be. This guy is completely proportional. Explosive athlete. I mean, not a wide nine edge rusher like they talk about, the Dante Fowlers and the Vic Beasleys of the world. But a guy that you could play a three technique, you could play a five technique, you could play a seven technique. Again, if you needed to on a particular play, maybe that wide nine, but that's not what he does. They do the bag drills, and you guys have seen them out here where they take the big mules, the big, heavy, 7-foot-tall bags, and they line them up, and they start, and they swing with their right hand and their left hand, and they work their way between the bags. The other guys were hitting the bag, and it was just kind of going over. He was hitting and moving the thing, left hand, right hand. Here's what popped into my mind the minute I saw him. George Young, the late great general manager who built the Dolphins into the undefeated team back in the 70s and helped Bill Parcells build his Super Bowl teams with the Giants in the 80s, had a theory, and he called it the planet theory. And that was, there are only so many guys that big, that powerful, that quick on the planet, you don't pass on one. So if he's sitting there at three, I don't care, Vic Beasley, Dante Fowler, Shane Ray, Dupree, any of them, they're not in the same category. You don't pass on Leonard Williams.
Brian, good to see you, buddy. Thanks man. There he goes, Brian Sexton. Check him out at Jaguars.com. Always up to something in taking you behind the scenes with the team building that goes on with this franchise. We got to take a quick time out. We've got this date in football history, the Honda Drive around the NFL. More of your calls. Welcome at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Tony, on this date, 1991, the first World League of American football games were played. London beat Frankfurt 24-11.
Take it.
Yes, Montreal down Birmingham 20-5. Okay, and Sacramento beat Raleigh-Durham. I get, we've talked about this in the past. I don't remember any of these franchises.
I don't
most
either.
Of them. Sacramento beats Raleigh-Durham 9-3. Guarantee you, Raleigh-Durham Sports Talk the next day was like, this is crap. If we're going to lose, at least we should throw the ball 50 times a game and score some points. And lose. I'd rather lose 49-48. Because that's the way football fans go. And that's all right. That's just how we are. This date, 1965. March 23rd, Dante Jones, former NFL linebacker, best known for what now? Being a bow tie proprietor? He's big into the bow ties.
I thought it was Dahani.
Oh, that's right. It is Dahani Jones who does that. I totally blew that, Tony.
Yeah.
Right over my head. Dahani Jones, Dante Jones, they're all the same guy. Carl Pickens, born in the state in 1970, went
Slim.
To your least favorite university, University of Tennessee.
Oh, gosh, Tennessee.
A little bit of a wide receiver U thing they had going on.
They did.
At Tennessee for a while there. So that's what you got this state in football history. Dante, not Dahani Jones, was born. Dante is partial to bow tie, from what I hear, as well. Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive Cosmetic Dentistry is located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're just in the market for a family dentist, call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, last offseason, linebacker James Harrison stepped away from the NFL with little fanfare. A season later, he's signing a two-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. After being brought back to the team midseason, he racked up 5.5 sacks in 11 games in 2014. One of the biggest names left out there on the free agent market is wide receiver Greg Jennings. Jennings visited with the Carolina Panthers yesterday. He tweeted out that he was listening to Good Charlotte while he did. He is expected to visit with the Miami Dolphins while they're at the owners' meetings early this week, today or tomorrow. Jennings said last week that he is open to going back to Green Bay. And I saw on Friday when a Jaguars fan tweeted Jennings showing him the beautiful warm weather here in Jacksonville that afternoon that the city is waiting for him, to which Jennings actually responded, LOL, noted. So Jennings at least paying attention.
Right, all right. Well, I hope he's just saying like, haha, all right, you know, I appreciate the recruiting pitch. Don't LOL at the experience, baby, until you've been here. By the way, I had Jennings on this weekend on my show on Sirius, and actually Bob Harris had interviewed him early in the week, and we had that interview, and he asked him basically, Favre or Rodgers, better quarterback?
Oh,
which
man.
Is a pretty interesting question,
it
right?
Is.
I mean, because let's not forget how great Brett Favre's career has been. I know he's became a bit of a punchline down the stretch with some of the off-field stuff and the swapping of teams and whatnot, but he said, look, I got to give, you know, Favre's about to be in the Hall of Fame, so, you know, body of work, how can I not say Favre? But he goes, but if I'm just basically said, if I'm picking sides here, if I'm, you know, he didn't put it in these exact words, but the gist was, if we're choosing teams, I'm taking Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he didn't always leave on the friendliest terms there with Aaron Rodgers.
No, he didn't, but it sounds like he's desperate to get back to a quarterback that knows what he's doing.
Hey, that's a pretty good duo to play with your first couple years, and then Teddy Bridgewater had a nice rookie season for himself as well.
Sure, but that chaos at the quarterback position in Minnesota. One other note, Blake Bortles and crew were out getting some work in this weekend at Santa Margarita Catholic High School in California. Among the group there working with Blake, new Jaguars tight end Julius Thomas, as well as both second-year wide receivers Allen Robinson and Marquise
Good.
Lee, getting a little work done this
offseason. What about Mr. Hearns? Where's Hearnsy?
He might have been out there, too. Those are the names that I saw mentioned.
That's not enough respect for Allen Hearns in his game, but that's good to see, man. Wait, more of that, and you know, let's see that translate into productivity on the field. 641-1010, the phone number. Let's get a couple in. Johnny O is going to join us from the owners' meetings. John Osier, the senior writer for Jaguars.com, coming up in just a few minutes. Let's get Philip up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. I have a couple comments I wanted your thoughts on. I'll take them off the air. The first one is that, you know, with the Jaguars' history over the last, you pick 5 years, you pick six or seven, whatever period of time you want to pick. You know, going for one good player early in the draft in the first round, doing it again, they're ending up with good players or washouts, not great players. So why don't they have a strategy over a period of time here moving forward? Unfortunately, they didn't already, but to trade back, get more picks later on where you pick up a lot more value. That's my first one. The second one is how much of the five teams that have no state income taxes, two Texas teams and the three Florida teams, how much of a benefit? That seems like a huge benefit. Why wouldn't that help Jacksonville more in free agency? Thanks.
Seahawks don't have state income tax either. In Washington State, there may be more than that as well. But it's several of them out there who say it isn't a benefit. I mean, they signed. They had five targets in free agency. Two of them re-signed with their own team, and they signed the other three. So they didn't miss out on anybody that they targeted specifically from the get-go, right? They had those five guys. They missed out on two guys who re-signed with their own team. May have had the high bid on McCourty. There are a lot of factors that go into it. The trade-down thing, Tony, it's, look.
Someone has to want to trade up.
You sit there and you go, well, you know what? Joku right now isn't a great player. We should pass on Leonard Williams because Joku wasn't a great player. I mean, I get it. Sometimes you miss on drafting great players, but that's where you get them typically. At least that's where you have the best opportunity to get them. If you scout them properly, you're not going to get those super elite talents later on. Doesn't always work that way. You go back, I was looking at the 2013 draft earlier today, the Luke Joku draft, because there's talk about Jarvis Jones. Remember how much talk there was about him coming out? Jarvis Jones led the SEC in sacks two consecutive years. Maybe the best talent in the draft, right? Went 17th overall to Pittsburgh that year. And isn't a full-time starter. They just re-signed James Harrison at 37 years old, and they're going to let him fight it out. Here's a guy who was a first-round pick of this team just 2 years ago, basically 3 years ago, three drafts ago it'll be after this upcoming draft. And he's not guaranteed to get on the field. So there's all kind, you know, there's no guarantee that if you trade back, you're going to, the players you draft are going to be any better. In fact, you may get a lot of not so great players.
Right.
The example I'll use is Cleveland and Atlanta, Julio Jones. Atlanta gives up a boatload, trades up all these picks. You go back and look what Cleveland got. Most of them are gone, long gone, off the Cleveland roster. Phil Taylor, decent defensive lineman.
Yep.
The only thing they had left to show for it, Julio Jones is a star. And that's the thing. Sometimes you're going to swing and miss on the star, but that's generally where you're going to try to shoot for the stars, because if a guy like Leonard Williams is coming in, he's not going to. The only reason he's lasting to three, if he lasts, is because of the quarterbacks that may push him down. You don't get that kind of game-changing talent. You heard what Brian said. Brian may be wrong. He may turn out to be wrong about his assessment of him, but you don't get that game-changing talent that much later in the draft.
No, you don't. And the other thing is, there's a reason Dave Caldwell's here and Gene Smith isn't. And it's because he was missing on the first-round picks. And, by the way, most other picks that he was making in the draft, we joked around about it before you left, but Cecil Shorts, at least he finished his contract in Jacksonville. And that's about the most high praise you could give a Gene Smith draft pick, is that Cecil finished his contract in Jacksonville. That's why Dave Caldwell's here. It's why Gene Smith isn't. And maybe that's an oversimplification, but look, they started the clock last year officially when they drafted Blake Bortles at number 3. Blake's going to be the franchise quarterback for this team for the next 10 years, or Dave Caldwell's not going to be here. It's that simple for this football team right now.
Right, and if you need a quarterback, and in that case, I mean, should they have traded down?
Right.
Time will tell.
And you better start drafting guys when you're picking in the first round that are helping this team get better every year.
But you also made the point initially that you got to have a market. I mean, when they had the number 2 pick and they took Joku, nobody was clamoring to trade up to number 2 that year.
No.
Because it was seen to be a weak draft.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes you're stuck in that spot and you can't move. But, Philip, thank you for the call. Let's get Brian in quickly before we break. Brian, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple questions for you. On the Brian segment, I agree wholeheartedly. If Leonard Williams is there at 3, he's the best player. Undoubtedly, you take him. But I have a question. I mean, everybody else is like you said, I'm seeing the Leo guy, the Fowlers, the Beasleys. Is it just me? When I watched the games last year a lot, when Chris Smith was on the field, and I know he was a fifth-round pick, but you noticed that guy. Is he not worth, given he has the Leo size, he has the ability? To me, everybody says running back is overvalued, and I get that. But that, to me, is more when you're paying them. Obviously, you're not taking a quarterback this year. If Ty Gurley or Melvin Gordon are sitting there at 3, what is going to be a more impactful player than running back on this team this year? They're going to touch the ball 250 to 300 times this season. Is that not worth at least taking a look and considering that 3, considering the other young talent that you do have across the defensive line? And I'll take that off the air.
All right. All right, thanks, man. Look, quickly, A, they will be there. There's no if.
Yeah,
they will be there. And the thing is, it's positional scarcity, okay? You may be able to – maybe Todd Gurley is better at what he does than Shane Ray is at what he does. Just picking a couple names here, right? But –
he's got to be better at what he does than Dante Fowler is at what he does.
Right, or whoever. Yeah. Just picking a name, okay? So, but that may be the case, marginally. But then if you can sit there and say, well, I could get Dante Fowler and I could get Jay Ajayi out of Boise, or I could get one of these other running backs. Who knows? Maybe even one of those guys falls to the top of the second round, or I can make a slight trade up and grab one. Maybe they don't. But running back, well, the two guys, again, 2013 draft, that have been to the Pro Bowl from the running back position, Le'Veon Bell, Eddie Lacy, both mid to late second rounders is what they were. You can find running back. The running back talent doesn't fall as steeply as the pass rush talent goes. So that's a factor when you're talking about that as well. And you can get a running back in the second round that can come in and handle those 300 touches and do quite well despite the fact that you got him in the second round. A lot more likely than finding a pass rusher the later you get in the draft.
Yeah, and we talked about this at the end of last week, but when you look at what the team did in free agency looking into the draft, it seems to be painting a picture that third pick is going to be some kind of pass rusher. It's going to be some kind of defensive lineman, because when you look at the future of the roster at that position right now, Chris Clemons, you don't know how much longer you're going to have him. Andre Branch is coming into a contract year. Do you really want to be relying on Chris Smith or somebody else going forward when you have the opportunity at number three in the draft to possibly get your favorite edge rusher in this year's draft? In a draft that, granted, is loaded with those guys, but you get a chance to pick out your favorite of that group at number three and feel like you have a young stud going forward at that position where you're about to lose all the depth you have at it in a year. You have to have somebody to build around right now.
641-1010 is the phone number if you'd like to get in. We got Johnny O, the senior writer from Jaguars.com, coming up live from the owners' meetings. Also, we'll look at the fan feedback spotlight before we're out of here today. How do you feel about the Jags picking up players with off-field issues coming in from other teams, a la Bernard Pierce, fresh off a DUI? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Would not be a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday without the Ozone making an appearance.
Oh, no.
I could not be here, and it would be a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, as evidenced by last week's show. But not Johnny O, out at the owners' meetings out in Phoenix right now, and he joins us on Jaguars.com, or on Jaguars.com, on Jaguars Today from Jaguars.com. Hello, John. How are you?
Well, it's kind of fitting. I'm almost in the Wild West, in a way. Yeah.
See, you are,
west,
right?
On a Wild West Gold and Gun Monday. But
Phoenix is wild. If you want to know, well, if you want to know how to work their little light rail system, Tony and I had it down by the end of the week, Super Bowl week. We had that all figured out, and we know where all the alcohol is served there.
Because I couldn't bring a gun on the plane, I had to bring gold, and then find some place to exchange it for a gun once I got out here. So I only knew how to
out there. I don't think there's a much of a problem. You walk into any place in Phoenix and they bite your money to see if it's real gold, just like the cartoon. So
yeah,
you should be right at home out there. What is going on from the perspective of Jaguars.com covering the owners' meetings? What kind of stories are you looking for this week?
It's kind of one of those days, to be honest, where I think we're going to try to talk to Caldwell around noon, which is three y'all's time. And, we'll be asking him some updates. It's more of a football day, if you will. You know, we'll be asking some updates on the football team. It's a chance to get a hold today. And then my understanding is we're going to try to talk to Shad tomorrow. I think that's when you'll get more of an owner's meeting feel, for what's going on, with the big picture stuff. So, I don't know if this is a topic, specifically for it, because it's not news to our readers. But what's really notable, all you hear coming into these meetings is about how, there was a story yesterday, there are owners who believe there's going to be a team in L.A. By 2016, playing in L.A. And I was just struck this morning by how remarkable it is that in Shad Khan's 3 years of ownership, he used the phrase, actions speak louder than words, when he was talking around the shipyard, just about everything he's done. And, his actions mean that there aren't very many words about Jacksonville when these topics come up anymore, which when you're at an owner's meeting trying to get perspective on where the team is, boy, isn't that saying something considering what we were all talking about 3 years ago.
I think that's spot on. Tony and I, before the show today, came in, we discussed possible things we're going to talk about on the show, and we said, well, what about John Mara saying that there are going to be one or two teams in L.A. in 2016? The point is we could talk about it. We're no longer, we're not compelled to talk about it anymore. It's so refreshing to not even have this franchise be a thought to be in that conversation, Tony. And so, you know, it's still an interesting topic for the league where that thing should settle. But
sure.
Isn't it nice to see what we're growing here in Jackson, or at least what we think we're growing here?
Well, again, like I said, I was thinking about this more and more this morning as I was preparing to talk to you guys. What Shad said at the Shipyards announcement, he was over off to the side after he had spoken, and, you know, he used that phrase a couple of times, actions speak louder than words. For 3 years, everybody wanted him to, I would get emails in the ozone, give me some guarantee, you know, why doesn't Shad just say, I'm not doing this, or I'm not moving here, I'm not moving here. And he never really said anything, but I think he sort of knew, I can say whatever I want, but people really aren't going to listen to that. But these actions that he's had, the scoreboards, and we all know all the things, people in Jacksonville don't talk about it anymore, or people who are following it, and I know what's going on with the team. And again, that wasn't the case at his introductory press conference in 2011, and when he spoke in 2012. So that's a notable thing that this man has done for this franchise, the city of Jacksonville, the community, whatever, you know, groups you want to talk about in that area.
With that being said, John, what is the talk with the NFL in L.A.? I know there's been some conversation about potentially two teams winding up in that L.A. area. San Diego, it would seem, if two teams are going to end up in L.A., the Chargers need to be one of them, considering how much of their fan base is actually in that L.A. area and what kind of impact it could have on that franchise to not have that fan base coming down to San Diego anymore if they can stay home. What is the latest talk in regards to the NFL in Los Angeles?
Again, the point you made, you know, there's a perception that they need it, but people in San Diego, you know, want to keep the Chargers. So, I mean, I don't think anything can be written in stone until it actually happens. But I think the things you're asking about are the things that are going to come out this afternoon after these guys are just going into a room now at 8 o'clock, and a lot of these topics are going to come up. But that's the topic. Is it going to be the Rams going over there? Is it going to be this Oakland San Diego merger sharing a stadium? You know, there's not really any buzz beyond what you're reading about. The Peter Kings, Michael Silver's writing about this sort of thing, because that's what's being talked about. Today and tomorrow will be a time where they get in meetings, and more owners will come out of those meetings with firmer opinions on it, and it'll be more than speculation. But it was very notable that there are people talking about 2016. That's such a run-up in terms of pace compared to what they were talking about a year or two ago, when it still seemed a very vague, off in the distant future concept, putting a team out there.
John, I know this will develop over the next few days, but what's the buzz in terms of potential rules changes being discussed out there? I know the definition of a catch seems to be something that's in the conversation every single offseason, this year being no exception. What to do with extra points, still tinkering with that. Instant replay, how widespread should it be? Is there a single hot-button rules change issue this year?
Not really. I mean, extra points, you know, it feels like extra point is something that has a little more momentum and is a little further down the road. The catch thing is a topic. People are talking about it, but there's really not much inclination that anything's going to come to a vote, because right now, from what I understand, there's really nothing on the table to vote on. The competition committee didn't put forth anything to change. And until there's something before the owners that they can vote on to change, then it's really just, I think there's a feeling among the people in the league that at some point you want to clarify that. But it's also very hard to, because there are some safety issues still involved with it. There's, you know, there's always things before they start changing the game they got to get to. I don't feel much momentum for the catch, but you do feel like there's going to be something on the table, and that there could be a change with the extra point. you would guess moving it back. I don't think this Colts idea with adding a 50-yard extra point to make it an extra point for 2 points versus, I don't see that changing right now. That seems a little out there. But the distance or the goalpost and the extra point, I guess it makes sense. Extra points never bothered me, but it seems to bother a lot of people. So it sounds like they want to make that a little tricky.
I think the thing that could affect the Jaguars the most is the potential expansion of the playoffs and just giving more teams the opportunity to make the playoffs on a year-to-year basis. Are you hearing any kind of buzz on that? It sounds like it may not be this year,
not
but it sounds like it's still coming.
Yeah, usually on those things, it sort of builds. I mean, they'll talk about it 1 year, it'll get tabled, then you'll hear it being discussed at the smaller owners' meetings. This is the big one where the coaches, GMs, owners all come to. Then you'll hear that there was conversation at some of the non, and then all of a sudden it's up before the competition committee for a vote. I don't see that being voted on, but it's certainly discussed enough, and the commissioner, everything you read from talking to him, is that he's not against it, and the competition committee, doesn't see it as being something that would adversely affect the game. So if it doesn't adversely affect the game and it can make more money, then they're probably going to do it at some point.
John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com, here with us on Jaguars today. Johnny O, what can we look forward to in terms of coverage?
Quick.
Yes.
Is that something that, you know, I'm not big on the expanding playoffs. I mean, you know, I just kind of.
I think it's perfect the way it is right now.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every time it comes up, I guess I sort of instinctively sort of reject it because I just kind of think, but it sounds like it could easily happen. But at what point do you stop? You know, I mean, at what point do you stop putting teams in and keep making it special? To me, a lot of teams get in right now.
Yeah, I get the sense if they did expand to 14 that there'd be such a clamoring to keep that one bye in there to have some incentive, and really could work out even better because now you could have two teams that kind of feel like, well, we pretty much have a bye locked up. I don't know if you maybe would have that little fight out to the end a little bit more within some of the high-end teams, but I don't think it would go much beyond 14. But, John, I remember growing up when the NHL had 16 out of 21 teams that made the playoffs,
oh, yeah.
And I always thought, well, this is the most pointless regular season in the history of sports. What? I just don't get it. So I think the NFL, the balance of the divisions, 8 four-team divisions, 12 teams in the playoffs, I think it's you got to be pretty damn good to get into the postseason. And we're already talking about having division winners with 7-9 records. Aren't you opening yourself up to potentially more 500-ish teams, maybe,
right,
if you add another wild card? Maybe not. But
to me, it still strikes you that it's pretty tough to get in. And this is what you said. It's not like you get in, with the exception of when you win your division, when your division's bad. But usually,
right,
you've got to do something to make the playoffs. Beyond that sort of fluky thing, usually if you get into the wild card, you've at least got to get on a run late. You got to do something special sometime during the course of the year to make it. And you don't always get that feeling in the other sports. So, yeah, we'll see. I probably won't be making that call, Mike. I don't know. You know, between you and me, they might.
Well,
they didn't have
I think you should
night.
Be in charge of all these decisions. In lieu of that, what will we see in terms of coverage over the next few days on Jaguars.com?
Well, we'll be going live today at 10. We're efforting to get Michael Silver, who has the national guys on at 10, on the website. And then we'll talk to David Caldwell today is the plan. And then tomorrow we'll have coverage of the coaches' breakfast with Gus Bradley. That'll be live early, probably 10:15 Jacksonville time. And then our expectation is to talk to Shad tomorrow afternoon. So it'll pick up and as we talk to different people around and the league about the Jaguars, we'll get some video and some quotes on the site about that. So it's always fun to come to these. The combine is very much where you go to sort of catch up on players and get an idea for the draft. This is where people are really getting together and starting to talk about league issues and the next year. So it's a good way for people to keep their pulse on the league.
All right, everybody should check in frequently, as they always do, at Jaguars.com for all the latest when Johnny O will be live in there. I do it, John. It's the one thing. I didn't listen to this program when I was gone, but I read you every day while I was on vacation, because that's how I am.
Did you find the stadium okay today? I mean, it's been a while since you've been down there. Yeah, I mean,
it was, but it's pretty big, so.
All right.
I just headed north and kept looking for those scoreboards, and I eventually got here, so it worked out just
fine.
I
thought for a while last week.
Hey, thanks, man.
Make me full time.
I know. I had to hustle back. Johnny, we'll talk to you later this week. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
All right, there he goes, the senior writer from Jaguars.com, John Osier. We'll come back if we have time for more phone calls. We'll try to squeeze a few in, and we'll get the fan feedback spotlight today, taking a look at Jags signing guys with issues, off-the-field issues from other teams. Your opinion on that, share with us on social media. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, quick phone calls. Let's get them in, and we'll get to the fan feedback spotlight of Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Got to get ready for that zombie apocalypse somehow, Tony. Wild West Guns and Gold, meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America. And that is a guarantee. Visit Guns 4 Jacks, that's Guns, the number 4, JAX.com, or stop by their shop on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars today. Let's get Jerome up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. I got a question for you. When they are talking about pass rusher, are you talking about from the linebacker standpoint or from the DN standpoint? Because I like Fowler, but I don't see Fowler like the top three pick or so like that, because he's not like a Mario Williams or anything like that. I just don't feel like he would be worth to go. I feel like it would be a reach knowing the depth of the pass rusher. Not saying that he's not that good or he won't be that good. I just don't feel like he's on tape that he's that stud that should be at that number three position, rather than I think Jacksonville might be able to look for another one and probably get like a linebacker or another linebacker or a D end later in like the second or third round, maybe, like they've been doing. I think it might be a reach.
It's two different questions here. What one is, are we talking about defensive end or are we talking about outside linebacker? And generally, I'm thinking more along the lines of defensive end, but certainly the whole, as I was talking about earlier, Tony, the whole position of, quote, edge, a guy who can rush the passer and affect the passer, sure, whether he's playing your Otto or your Leo, if he's going to get sacks, if he's going to be a harasser of quarterbacks, does it really matter what we're talking about here? As far as Dante Fowler goes,
he's the same size as Andre Branch.
Dante Fowler's plenty big,
yeah,
to play in the National Football League at that position, in my opinion. I'm not in love with his productivity at Florida. And you can listen to people that say, hey, you know what? He got a lot of pressure. Hick can say, watch every snap. He got a ton of pressure that goes beyond the sack stats. That may be the case. Look, they'll discern that. No, keep in mind,
he was a disruptor.
Dave Caldwell's not up here saying Dante Fowler's number one on our board, right? All these Dante Fowlers in mock drafts, that's media talking about trying to connect the dots. You may be right. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Dante Fowler's worth it or not worth it, because honestly, I don't know if I feel qualified. I got my opinion that I think he's a nice, versatile guy. At the end of the season, if you told me Dante Fowler's the number three pick in the draft, I'd be surprised. Okay? I don't think, you know, that was my initial impression. But I'm not a tape breaker downer, you know? So I think it's possible. Could he be worth it? Sure he could. I mean, there's plenty of other guys we've fallen in love with. We mentioned Jarvis Jones earlier, a couple of years ago.
Sure.
Couldn't knock the productivity of that guy at a position the Jags needed. Can't translate it to the NFL. Vic Beasley's got all the productivity you need, Tony. But then he has a tendency to disappear in big games.
No, and Jerome didn't say it, but he sounds like somebody who wants to see them take Amari Cooper at three. That's what Jerome sounded like to me. And I think a lot of the guys who are for that are looking at a lot of the edge rushers that are available to the Jags and feel like they're kind of tweener guys. So are they playing linebacker? Are they playing the Otto or are they playing the Leo for the Jags? And they're like, well, why not just wait till the second round and get Amari Cooper at three?
Well, they could tell you that. Most people will tell you that wide receiver is a deeper position in this draft than pass rush is as well. You could play that game as well. Let's go to Jedi Matrix before we run out of time. Jedi Matrix, hello.
Yo, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, I personally don't have a problem with the Jags or any team choosing to pass on someone that has baggage. If they have too much baggage. Granted, I'm not saying that the player should be some choir boy or nothing like that, but a lot of my friends, co-workers, they have this huge hang-up on the Jags not going after Hardy or showing any type of interest in Hardy due to the baggage. And I'm like, yo, if a woman that you're interested in have a whole bunch of baggage and later on she decided to make some change in her life where she wants to do right, granted, you do want her to make those changes, but would you want her on your arm? And I feel the same way about some of these players on the team.
I think I see what you're saying anyway, that you're not opposed to a guy getting a second chance. You don't necessarily want it to be your team that gives him that second chance. Look, I'm not, from my opinion, I'm not opposed to guys getting second chances, Tony. I would not give Ray Rice another chance, me personally, because I don't believe that's the first time Ray Rice ever laid his hands on a woman. I don't think you go from zero to punching a woman in the face in one leap. I just don't believe that. I think he's done it before. And I don't trust Ray Rice. And never mind the fact that I don't think he can help you anymore at his level of play. But in Bernard Pierce, I mean, in terms of, do I think Bernard Pierce can help the team? Probably not, is my guess, as a player. But am I going to say he, in my opinion, shouldn't be on the team simply because he's had a DUI? Look, he had a DUI. You give the guy a second chance. He has a shorter rope than everybody else does, right? One screw up and you're on your way. Talent somewhat dictates that, but taking this guy in, knowing that he had this issue, that's got to be, I think, the circumstance that you're in. It's really a low to no risk move by the Jags other than PR. Today we asked you, what is your opinion on that, bringing in guys from other teams or bringing in guys, period, with off-the-field issues? What's some of the response we got?
Here's what we got from Paolo. It's okay as long as the player is committed to change his life. From Jason, without second chances in life, none of us would have a chance in life. From Chris, if there is any that will stand behind its players, give them positional support, it's the Jaguars. Hashtag second chance. From at Irish Jaguar, depends on many factors. If the player is committed to changing his behavior, then I can look past it. From Christoph, if they can play, why not? Hashtag welcome back, Mike. Hashtag stuck waiting to go to France. Hashtag Eurostar. From Ryan, showing genuine remorse does a lot. Determining a level of genuineness can be tough, but most times we can tell. From Ocho Ficho, off-field issues are usually forgotten with performance. Is Aaron Hernandez free yet? From Eric, there's a line. Depends on the crime slash offense. Generally, I don't want them, but they can help. From Bobby, it depends on what the issue is for me. It's like comparing the Shaq Harris and Gene Smith eras. From David, it depends on the nature of the offense. Violence towards women and children shouldn't be tolerated. And from Scott, I believe everyone deserves a second chance, but obviously depends on the issue. Just be good.
And that's the risk of asking a question like that, where most people are responding in 140 character form. You can't take every angle of this issue and spit it out in one tweet, but we try to give you an opportunity to feedback every day. I just want to highlight this. This is from MikeWill904 on Twitter. He said, I know it's a slow Monday, Mike, but don't do this. Do this, I guess, was asked this question. And when I sent it out initially on Facebook, which automatically tweets it out, I had a picture of Bernard Pierce. He is the reason I asked this question, because
sure,
this just occurred. I wasn't here on the day it happened, so we're talking about it today. He says he's the third string running back with a DUI. Come on now, Mike. And he continues in a second tweet, I don't want to be the city who slams our entertainers, in all caps, every time they break the rules. This is why no one will come here. A, what? No one will come here? The six guys we interviewed a week and a half ago, Tony, that signed with the Jags in the first 24 hours of free agency seem to tell you otherwise,
yep.
Okay? Three of their five targets signed here. The other two re-signed with their own team. And pretty good chance the Jags had at least a high bid on one of those guys and likely would have gotten him had he not gone back. Now I'm talking about Devin McCourty.
And as I said, when you read that to me, what has the team done except stand beside and behind Justin Blackman?
Right. And I don't.
They
and
support that guy fully.
If you think we're just going to sit here and go, la, 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 everything's great. Look, I'm not sitting here bashing Bernard Pearson. In fact, I just said I think he deserves a second chance. But it is an issue. If you don't, I mean, off the field, it has been the worst off the field year in the National Football League they've probably ever had. And to think these things aren't issues, you want to be the city that slams entertainers? Go look at Dallas, where the mayor of the city is ripping them a new one publicly, nationally. You think people are not going to sign with the Cowboys? Because they're getting ripped for right. signing Greg Hardy? People are going to go where the money is. Come on. It's almost zero to do. What I say, if we sat here for 2 hours saying the Jags made a huge mistake, signed Bernard Pearson, which is not how I feel, but if I did, it would have zero impact on anyone's willingness to come play for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Correct.
Period. So, that's my opinion. And, Mike, I appreciate your opinion.
I'm not going there. They got that jerk sports radio host.
Oh, that guy down there.
He's not going to
kill
like me
if I get a DUI. What? They don't even, you know, never mind the fact that nobody even knows who we are. But forget that. Mike, again, appreciate the feedback, but I'm going to feed right back to you when I disagree with you. So, there you have it. Appreciate everybody today, including Johnny O. Checking in from the road, John Osier. Check out his coverage at Jaguars.com of the owners' meetings. Brian Sexton as well popping in to give you his thoughts of a first-hand look at Leonard Williams at his pro day.